Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The Malcolm Butler situation in the Super Bowl, why he didn't play.
Coach Belichick say, Skip, this is why he didn't play.
Those two touchdowns both came against your former teammate, Malcolm Butler. He does not look good out there tonight.
I've already addressed that question, Lou.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Sounds to remember that.
What kind of competitor wouldn't it bother? Ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF. We started with a little bit of the Celtics. We'll get to the Patriots coming up in this hour, and we'll get to how J.D. Martinez got screwed. So this Marcus Smart rap that you brought up, Christian.
Actually, I didn't bring it up.
You didn't?
Ryan brought it up. No, I didn't know about it. But I've been researching it, trying to find some sort of review. I have not found one. I haven't even heard it yet.
He's teamed up with his friend Trey Davis and rapper I Am Compton.
Geo.
So, Ryan, have we cleaned up a little bit of it?
Oh, I hope so.
Your job depends on it.
This actually took him an hour to do, by the way.
I know. So this is Marcus Smart's new rap. It's called, what, 52?
52M. This is Marcus's verse.
Okay.
All right. 52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, that's a new feel. Brought the top floor because I need the room. Walking closet for my Gucci and Louis. Red bottoms, but I'm rocking that blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool. 52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, that's a new feel.
Brought the top floor because I need the
room. Big bass.
Not me. It's poorly recorded. It's poorly recorded. Can I do the second thing?
There's a lot of bass.
I don't know if other NBA...
That would make my car move.
Like, I could actually do that with you guys. If I crank up the decibel level on your microphones, you could sound just like that.
Do it to me real quick.
Oh, that'd be great.
It to me. Can I try
No, don't do
quick?
That. Don't do that to him.
Tell me you're testing 1, 2, 3. Gia! I feel like this is your conscience talking, Glenn. Put down the cookie. Put down the cookie. You'll regret it in the morning.
Turn him down, please. He's creeping me out.
That's a new
deal.
That's a new feel. On the top floor because
I want to get this.
Okay, fix my mic.
So he has literally written a rap song.
Testing 1, 2.
About the fact that he just got a 4-year, $52 million contract extension. If I'm an NBA player, first of all, that's chump change. I'm laughing at him.
I'm singing.
Are you kidding me? You only get 52 mil?
Well, I mean, chump when you change. Look at who it is, I mean, he's not a max player.
Okay.
He's a defensive specialist.
Who got 13
he's
a year.
He occasionally makes some 3-pointers. I think he got paid exactly where he should be.
I agree, but. You're sitting there, first of all, pounding your chest. NBA players are laughing at you because it is chump change. And the rest of the world is sitting there going, what the hell are you singing it to me for? Why don't you hand some money out to me? You know?
Yeah, but you know, this is what you do, right? It's like, I don't take this.
You talk about how much money you make?
I know he believes that he's not selling any of these. Like, nobody's going to download 52M and, like, rock it through their neighborhood.
They will now.
Oh, you got that new Marcus Smart? Oh, you do? Bust it out, man. I heard he's got a lot of bass. Oh, he did just... Oh. I'm going to dance to this anyway.
You think he like listens to his own song before the game? His headphones? Like he's like, guys, listen to this before the game. Think he pumps his own music when he's taking around taking shots.
I feel like I've heard that beat like in every single song now. Like,
it's incredibly unoriginal.
Everybody's like, it's like every rapper has a similar like little beat to it.
But that's cool artistic license on the producer. Turn the music up so loud that you can't make one thing out from the other. Very crafty.
Didn't he tell Jackie McMullen that he was going to turn the teams down because he's worth more than $16, $18 million. Didn't he do that?
Again, negotiation
so now
time.
he gets a lot less than that.
13.
He's put together a rap song.
Yeah,
for
sure. He's got a buddy. Hey, you want to talk about, you want to write a song about your money?
Sure. Oh, my God. How stupid is that?
Hey, you know, just to deviate, you know, you mentioned this during the break, Lou.
Yeah.
About how what a good throw Kyrie Irving, what a great arm he has.
Yeah.
They're right now in the NBA, Squirt! The jump. They are. No, we're still talking Celtics. They track the ball. It's like one of those stat cast things they do in the NFL where they kind of follow it. It almost went to the second deck.
Good.
Mm-hmm. He chucked the hell out of that
ball. Telling you, I got to find Ryan, we got to find a picture. Put it up there. Put a picture next to his face next to David Price's face. And you tell me if they don't look alike a little bit.
I agree with you. I do.
I think they look alike. A lot alike. I'm not lying.
See, you know what he's doing?
I'm staying
out of
this
conversation.
No, I think they do. They're similar.
I think they do.
They're similar looking. They have similar characteristics.
Yeah.
It's not like they're twins.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll pull it up. Dude.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Here's Mike in a car. Hey, Mike.
Tweet that out.
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, Mike.
Good.
Good. So I totally agree with what you guys are saying in general, that the Celtics are going to put it together, but obviously you guys are looking for things I think they need to improve on. I have noticed that they've been, when they switch on defense, they go underneath the pick, which I feel like in a three-point shooting league, you have to go over the top of the screen.
They change it up depending. Wait a minute. They change it up depending on the team and the personnel that
they're still
playing.
The best
right.
at defending the three in the league.
Right. They're the best defensive team in the league overall. I don't think
but
that's
defending the
issue.
Three, it's like 29%.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that has to do with, like, I mean, I guess I would call it like the pit bull mentality on defense that they play with all year that a lot of the good teams turn up in the
deep
playoffs. The other thing for the offense, I feel like they're very stagnant. When they come out, they're moving around and they're moving the ball. That's why they get off to those hard starts. And then they're up 18 points and they just start hucking up threes because they're like, oh, you know, we don't need to get to the hoop. And, you know, they haven't been getting a lot of free throws, but I feel like they need to start setting pick plays with their wing players so they can get them more involved and they'll be cutting. And I feel like once they start getting two-point shots, they'll be more confident taking the three. And I'll shut up.
I'm not going to change up what they're doing with threes. And the coach keeps on saying it's part of the game plan.
Hit them.
It's part. They just need to make them. Guys, they're getting
it's a maker. It's a make or miss league.
Can I write that down? Let me write that down.
Go ahead. Write
but
that down.
But they are. They're getting those opportunities.
Feel like
they're getting
like,
open
but
threes.
But they've taken like the drive and kick to another level. They can drive and drive.
Everybody in the league does. But everybody
finish.
In the league does.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, taking it to the basket, getting to the line. They're the worst in the league in getting to the line.
You're right. Okay. Right back.
But it's just, you know, the driving kick. I understand you got a bunch of shooters, and that's why I don't think you can complain about the three-point shot right now. As you said, this is the league. They just have guys that aren't hitting them right now, that consistently as they were last year. They have great shooters. Like, do you not want Gordon Hayward to take a three?
I want him to take a three.
Absolutely, especially moving forward. Now, lately, has he been good at it? No. How about Jason Tatum? No. How about Jaylen Brown? How about Al Horford? They're not shooting the three like they were last year, like they have been in their careers in terms of Gordon Hayward. So, it's going to take a little bit of time. Right now, they're not shooting a three well.
But I will say this. I think they're far too unselfish right now. People are talking about ball movement. Ball movement is not the problem. They're too unselfish. They're moving the ball around because they're not sure. Everybody's trying to give in to the other guy. And in the end, they're not better because of it. So you've got guys that are out of sync, out of rhythm. Guys don't know whether they should be taking the shot. Did Jason Tatum have a problem taking a shot in the postseason? He was a rookie last year.
Well, the other thing
and he took him at will, and they went in. Now this year? He's hesitant.
Well, I'll say, so you have one guy that goes nuts. You have one guy that goes cuckoo. He scores 48 points, almost had 50. We just would have concentrated a little bit harder. Right, how about just focus on stopping that guy, right? If that guy, what are the amount of the points that guy had in the second quarter, in the fourth quarter
17,
alone.
I think, in the fourth?
No, so he made 8 shots in the fourth quarter, and the rest of his teammates made just 2.
Right.
So can we kind of figure out who's going to get the ball? And again, these weren't just set shots, three-point set shots. There's a lot of driving to the hole. We had 2 or 3 guys on him. The guy was uncanny. It was nuts. He probably won't have another day like that the rest of the year.
Yeah, but that's not.
So this is your typical knee-jerk reaction. On one night, they make all these threes. Okay, everything's working out great. No complaints now. Then you have a couple games where, guys are inconsistent. Then you have one guy go nuts, and you lose on the road. And you're starting to think that, you know, they're not going to figure it out.
No, Christian, they're losing games against Indiana. They're losing games against Denver last night. They're not playing great at home. There's an issue here. Now, again, I think we all believe they're so talented, they're going to be able to figure this out. But there's an issue right now in distribution, in guys that just they're accustomed to playing a lot more minutes where they get into the flow. They don't get into a good flow because they have too many guys who can score the basketball. And I don't think having too much talent is a problem.
No.
I think everybody syncing and working together as a team with too much talent, that's what they've got to resolve. Here's Pete in Westford. Pete in Westford.
Hello?
Yo.
Go ahead, buddy.
Speak up, buddy.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello again.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, sorry about that, guys.
Go ahead, Pete. You're up, buddy.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I agree with what you guys are saying. So I'm a long-time Celtics fan, and they have unbelievable talent, but, you know, the record is what the record is, right? It's about 500 almost. And since the last 3 games, I know you guys like the 3-pointers, I guess, fine, but it just seems like they don't put together a full game, of offense and defense and really situations. So they might take like a three, I think, as opposed to kind of working the clock down, taking a three-point shot late in the 24 seconds. And I don't think that good a defensive team. They shouldn't let that guy score 19 points in the fourth quarter on him. He's not like Steph Curry.
Yeah, but you're going to have your moments. They're the best defensive team in basketball, right?
Defense is not the problem.
Do you think they are or no?
Well, is this thing on?
I think they're a very good defensive team.
Yeah. And I don't think you're going to play four corners and wait for the shot clock to go down and chuck a three. I mean, they don't need to change anything. I mean, in my mind, I think they're going to take it to the basket a little bit more. I think they just have a lot of really good shooters that are trying to figure out, or good players, how to play together.
They need a night in which somebody goes off and scores like about 35, somebody else gets 24 or whatever, and the other guys take a back seat, and then the next night somebody else has got to do it. You've got to figure it out, and this is on Brad Stevens. I'm surprised we have nobody calling up, sitting there going, you know, Brad's got to do something. He's got to change the lineup. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. It's on him, I think, now. He's got to move these pieces around. He's got the pieces. It's up to him. Here's Phil in a car. Phil.
Hey, how's it going? Now, this is maybe the first person ever to say this out loud. Glenn is 100% right.
Whoa! You know, Jesus. Mark that down.
Underestimating Phil. It, Phil. Maybe 102, 105.
Phil, hold on, Phil. You've been drinking?
Wait, hold on. About what?
What difference is it if he's been drinking?
It makes a big difference.
Why?
Go ahead, Phil. See, that's it. His phone doesn't even work. You can't. He's not. This is an incredible caller. This is an incredible caller.
Recording.
Yeah. Glenn is 100% right. Whatever.
Oh, we lost.
All right, thank you.
That's too bad. Phil was gonna make a phenomenal point.
Listen to the one guy that thinks you're right.
Here's Nick in Rhode Island. Nick.
How's it going, guys?
What's
thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to piggyback off the last guy because, Glenn, I do think that you are correct. I believe that people, again, you know, they're unsure of what to do once they get the ball. They're not being aggressive enough. And I don't like the big man Dane taking as many threes. It's swinging the ball around, and then it's not getting back to the people that shoot at a high percentage. I think that he needs to shoot less threes. They need to be more aggressive. The foul ratio between both teams has, you know, been a little suspect over the past few games. And Gordon Hayward's not playing good right now, and he's gonna.
There was a lot there you threw out there, Nick. And you said they're swinging the ball, and the wrong guys are taking the threes. Other than Marcus Smart, who don't you want to take a three?
I don't want Aaron Baines taking as many threes as he
shooting,
is.
Shooting 37. Shooting 37%. He's shooting better right now from three-point territory than Tatum, Hayward, Brown, Horford, Ogilvy, Smart.
I mean, it only takes a couple of games.
Right. Small sample size, though. So you're telling me you'd rather have Baines shoot the three than...
No, okay, let me ask you.
I don't have a problem with it.
How about the starting five? Do you mind Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris?
I'd rather them take it over Baines 100 out of 100 times.
All right, but you're making it sound like Baines is attempting six a game. Like...
No, but you can easily make that extra pass, and it'll be better. It'll be much better. I just don't, and they're not being aggressive enough going to the basket.
Well, that's you're right.
Yeah, you know what? You know what
I agree with you.
You know what I think he's doing though. You look at Baines and you say, well, he's a big guy, and the big guy shouldn't be taking him. He's learned to take that three.
He can shoot him.
I think, right. And I think it's changed his game for the better. I think he's a force out there. Certainly he is their best defensive force inside at the other end. And so if he can defend at one end against bigs, and then at the other end,
but
he can force that guy to come out to the perimeter, Lou, you got something there.
So the issue is that the ninth guy in the rotation is taking a one too many three a game?
Smart's the one I think takes right now. I have no trust in him at
the
three-point
territory. They got to play Aaron Baines more.
Okay. Here's Charles in Providence. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hello.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's awesome.
Oh, hey, just wanted to make a point about the Celtics.
Okay, what's up?
Yeah, so I've noticed with the Celtics in the NBA, a lot of the best NBA teams, they have a stat leader on their team. In the state of the Golden State Warriors, they have a bunch of them. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. We don't have any stat leaders. We're not as good as people think we are. We have a balanced team, which is what makes us good. But even in Toronto, they have their point guard is the leader in assists.
Lowry.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know what the point is.
Kyrie's
the point is that when
we played 10 games.
You don't have the leading score. And again, I still like points per game, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Blake Griffin, right? Rebounds per game, you know, Drummond, Whiteside, Jordan, you know, assists per game. They don't have one guy on any of these individual stat sheets. Not one guy is from the Celtics. I think that's what he's saying.
Okay, can I give you one?
Exactly.
Can I give you one, Charles? Not only do the Celtics right now lead the league in defense, they're number one in defense, but they have five of the top seven players defensively in that analytic number that they put up for defense.
We're balanced, so we're good.
No. They're the best. Great. No, they're the best. Individually, they're the best. Baines, Horford, you can go through the list. They're the best defensively. That's one end of the floor.
I like the point, though. I mean, it's a little like, you know, you're talking about no one on this team is going to win the MVP, right? So if Kyrie Irving, in order, and
nope,
he's no, really
because
the
they're
only
so
one.
Balanced.
Yeah, and he's not. And he's,
again,
and
I just said, like, you mentioned Golden State. Like, Golden State's three guys. Draymond does, like, the dirty work. But, you know, Steph takes 20 shots a game. Durant and Klay take 18. And then here comes Draymond at six. The next guy's at, like, three. Right. So those three guys score. You know, they know their role. They know what they're doing. This team here has got five guys on the floor, and they're all taking 10. You know, Kyrie's up a little bit more than that. So it's
Kyrie could
is it okay if one guy goes out and takes, other than Kyrie, takes 20 shots in a game?
Well, do you want Kyrie to be that guy, though? Because Kyrie could be that guy. I think night in and night out, if you have one guy on the team.
Yeah, but he's looking around going, yeah, man, I know I could be this guy, but, you know, I got to get Jason, I got to get him involved. I got to get Jalen involved. We got to get Gordon going a little bit. And, of course, there's Al.
Well, that's my point. I think they are far too unselfish. Matter of fact, the guy who's playing the most minutes right now for the Celtics is Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the most minutes. But to me, the Kyrie Irving is the one guy that could be that superstar that you're talking about. But in this setting, he's sitting there trying to be far too unselfish. You know? And so what do you do? Do you unload a couple of players?
This goes back to the whole too much talent type of thing. And this is what I'm talking about, Hayward maybe going down to that second unit just to try to get. I think that would get Jalen and Jason Tatum going.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. 'Cause
I think it would be Kyrie and those two guys scoring. And you know Al's just going to be chilling, doing his thing. And maybe Baines is in that starting lineup again. And you get those two guys going a little bit. You know, and say, hey, it's okay. You guys are in that lineup. Go out and take 16, 18 shots. Because, you know, I mean, if Hayward takes the less minutes, you know those guys won't be sitting there, you know, averaging 11 points a game or 12 points a game. They'll be up to that 16, 17, right?
Yes. All right, we get to more of the Celtics, and we'll get to the MVP voting for Major League Baseball. A Red Sox player got screwed. We'll get to it all coming up next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we gave Celtic fans an opportunity to vent a little bit. They don't want to vent. They don't want to. They're good. Everybody is good. The team's terrific. And we'll get back to it, and we'll let you continue on. But I wanted to throw something else up on the table. Did J.D. Martinez get screwed? Here are your finalists for American League MVP. Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, and Mike Trout. Did J.D. get screwed here? Should he not be one of the finalists? Because, in my opinion, as much as I think Mookie Betts was the best player in Major League Baseball this year, certainly in the American League, J.D. Martinez was the most valuable player to the Red Sox. He was more valuable than Betts. So most valuable player should be awarded to the guy that did the most for his team. And I'm not talking about the sessions with the little iPad on the side. I'm talking about what he brought to the table and changed that entire lineup. To me, he was the most valuable player. He gets screwed here.
Well, there's a lot of guys had unbelievable years. And I think, you know, Jose Ramirez is one of them. You know, and when you look at a guy like Mike Trout, who's considered the best player in the league, having the year that he had, and I know he missed some games, but statistically it was just as good as he's ever been. In some categories, even better. You know, so I think that he still with this, they're not going to win it. I mean, Mookie's going to win this thing. The problem I have with Ramirez is it was an amazing year for this guy. But he hit like a $160.
Second half of the last 2 months, right?
Yeah, like the last, I think
look
it was
at the last 2 months.
The last, no, but it was like mid-August or so to the end of September.
Well, they had
like,
the Division One at the end of July, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, and he was a great, I mean, he had a great year. But he just, the way the year ended for the last month and a half, 2 months, I mean, there's a reason why Chris Sale is not going to win the Cy Young. Because he wasn't available the last 2 months. And you could make the argument that even though Jose Ramirez played, he certainly wasn't an MVP caliber kind of player.
No,
the last couple of months. So, he just wasn't the same guy.
So here's the one that gets to me. We could make this the annual Mike Trout Award. Because if you look at him, look at his game, look at the five tools, you could say to yourself, he's the best player in the game. So why don't we just give him the best player?
Let's do the same with LeBron.
Right. And LeBron's a great example of that, yeah. Christian. You just brought it up. So LeBron could be the best player if we had an award called the best player every single year. But in the NBA, they've figured out that even though he's the best player in the league, he's not necessarily the most valuable player overall because Durant was 1 year and Harden was another year because he got his team the best record in the league. So these guys did other things. And I'm looking at Trout right now. So he had 39 home runs. He missed some games, lose right. But he only had 79 RBIs.
Leading off. How many RBIs did Mookie have? He's going to win MVP.
Right. Exactly. He had 80. All right? He had 80.
And he moved back to the three-hole. But yeah.
Right. But they dismiss this RBIs like it doesn't mean anything. The only statistic that they look at to decide who the MVP is WAR. And J.D. Martinez, I think, is seventh.
Yeah.
In
seventh.
WAR? Seventh.
Well, do you think J.D. Martinez should win the American League MVP?
I think he's the most valuable player in the American League because, and maybe I'm biased because I saw what he did every single day. Mookie Betts was the best player. But what did he do for his team?
There's no difference.
Well, I would say this.
It's a difference between the best player.
I would say this. No, when it comes right now, we're discussing this because of the postseason, the World Series, which Mookie Betts did not have a good postseason. MVP caliber.
And I'm not including that.
I know, but I just feel like it's kind of in the back of your mind. So it's human nature to go off what we just saw. Mookie Betts took the MVP in September. He just took it from him. So he's the MVP of the American League. I don't think there's any question. I think he's going to win it. I think he's going to win it easily.
He's going to win it easily.
So to me, I don't really care what the rest of the order is.
Yeah.
And the fact that JD's not in the top three tells me that Mookie's going to win it very easily. Because if he was in the top three, then you'd be worried about
splitting votes.
Then Trout winning it or something like that, right? So I'm not going to get all up in arms over it.
This is no difference. There's no difference to me then. You know, talking about, you know, the best player versus most valuable player. Like in the NBA, the reason LeBron James doesn't win it every single year because he's not the scoring champion every single year. That award goes to whoever scores
Harden,
the most
Westbrook,
points. Yes.
Those guys, too.
And then the NFL, it goes to the quarterback. Just remove all the other positions. It goes to the quarterback that's got to, first of all, you got to be in a good team. And if you're leading the league in, you know, in touchdowns and passing percentage and, you know, interception to
QBR.
All that stuff. You're going to be one of two guys in that race. So it has no bearing on anything else. You mentioned WAR. Like, yeah, they picked a stat. We're going to use this one as our jumping off point, and we're going to forget about everything else. Like, it's no different than any other sport.
Well, the reason, by the way, the reason that LeBron hasn't won it is because a team like Golden State has won more games than his team has won, or a team like last year, Houston won more games, or Russell Westbrook.
But if he was a scoring leader, right, he would be the MVP.
Yeah, but look at Mike Trout.
Even if he was had the third best team or second best team in the league.
So look at Mike Trout, and maybe you can make a case and say, because Mike Trout's teams the last 3 years have finished 23, 21, and 23 games out of first place in their division.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So maybe you can look at it and say, I don't know, they would have finished 40 games out if Mike Trout wasn't playing. Maybe that's a fair assessment of it. I look at the 108 wins versus the 93 a year ago. And I do believe that J.D. Martinez changed that entire batting order.
I agree.
It changed the way teams could pitch
to them. I still
think
he's the team MVP.
Right.
Well, see, what
but
you
how
want.
You, how can you be the team MVP and not be the league MVP?
Because your team MVP and what you brought, you know, like you helped Mookie, I think, take his game to another level.
Yep.
But nationally, they're not.
But I'm just saying, like, you might have helped Mookie take his game to the next level, but Mookie did that. So you can't sit there. You can't give him
bonus points as far as MVP of the league for helping the player get there. See, I mean, I understand the argument, but it's like the team MVP, the culture, the things that he brought, the communication of hitting, the difference in approach, he brought everybody, but then the player himself went out there and had an MVP type of year and took the MVP.
See,
so you can pat him on the back and say, hey, by the way, JD, thanks, I owe you a lot, but you still went out and did it. You know what I mean? It's so it's somebody. If Tom Brady goes out there quarterback and the new quarterback coach comes in or new offensive coordinator and he has a great year, you could say, well, the new offensive coordinator was the one that changed all the plays and got this offense to another level and they changed this and they changed that. Can't give the MVP to the guy that helps him do it.
You
give it to
them,
the player that actually did it.
What you want them to do is to have some sort of intangible equation, right, for the MVP. Because you will say, okay, JD Martinez,
he got his award.
And Mookie Betts.
But
right?
JD got his award.
He's got the
– Silver Star. Hank Aaron.
Yes, the Hank Aaron.
Best hitter in baseball, okay. American League. That's his award.
Okay. Right. So, but if you're measuring intangibles, like, and if you're going to – if Mookie Betts is going to be the MVP of the league, he should definitely be the MVP of the team. Yet the team will measure intangibles. The team will sit there and go, you know what? Everybody was better, and you know I know the naked eye, the national reporters aren't seeing what's going on and how he's affecting everybody else. So we got to give him more credit. We got to give him
all
more
right,
points.
Well, let me
for
ask
that.
You this. Let me relate it to this. Who's the MVP of the Patriots so far, season? Who would you say?
Well, Brady.
I'd say James White. I would make an argument that James White might be the MVP of this team. He's got no shot of winning MVP of the league. But could you make an argument that James White's the MVP of this team, given all the injuries and what he's brought you every single week, consistency, what he's done?
It's no different than when Gronk was having that unbelievable season, and the conversation was between Gronk and Brady. In my
mind, not sure where we're going with.
So sure, you most definitely can, because without him, where are they right now? Right. He's like one of the lead. Is he the leading receiver in the NFL? Something crazy, like 61 some odd catches.
Leading,
something crazy.
Leading running back.
Oh,
receiver.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. He's going to end up with over 100 receptions.
Actually, touchdowns are off the
charts. He actually is going to break the record, I think, for running backs. That's what he's going to end up doing. But wait a minute. Hold on. You say, where would you be without James White?
Yeah.
James
where were those 61
James
receptions
James
coming
James
from?
White is easier to replace than Tom Brady.
Okay, no.
Where would you be without Tom Brady?
No, I still say Brady is. The question was, is there an argument? The answer is yes. And not what. It's not Brady. The quarterback is always. When was the last time somebody other
touchdowns.
Than a quarterback won the MVP?
He's got 10 touchdowns through 9 games.
Who was it? You remember who it was?
61
running
catches.
Back,
running back.
Adrian Peterson.
Plays for the Redskins now. Adrian
but,
Peterson.
But I'm just saying, like, I think you could make an argument that James White's the MVP of this team right now. 9 games through. But he's not going to win the MVP of the league. Then we'll go to Brady.
Then he wouldn't win the MVP.
I mean, I'm saying
either.
If Brady.
See, when we do this, when we do this with best player MVP, it's a matter of semantics. To me, when they award the MVP, the most valuable player, it is the most valuable player to that team. All right, because it's all about that team winning. And we're sitting here, and it's a matter of semantics. We're sitting here saying that JD Martinez was the most valuable player on the Red Sox. Then he's got to be the most valuable player on the.
They're not married together.
Let me finish this. They are married together. How can you be?
They're not. I don't think they are.
No, then you're the best player.
Because
they should be the best player.
The MVP, let's face it, that's exactly what it is. It's a combination of the best player to go with the MVP. You know, most valuable to his team, but also the best player.
But they don't call it the best player, because if they called it the best player, it'd be a separate award.
But that's
award.
Just what it is.
And the reason a designated hitter is never going to win this award ever, because these guys are going to vote. These old baseball writers.
He never plays the field.
Right. Exactly. That's what they're going to do. What was it? I heard Keith say this on the air today. He was talking about Keith Law, guy who he can't stand. They got something going on there. But talk about the ultimate stat nerd is Keith Law.
Yeah, he is.
Keith
but
Law's got
the
him.
Problem with Keith is that, like, it's his way and the only way. And if you don't look like me, then you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking
right.
about.
Right. J.D. Martinez is his ninth choice.
Well, that's
MVP.
Ridiculous.
Ninth choice. Are you kidding me? Do you really watch baseball, or do you just look at numbers on a piece of paper?
So that's just some old writer, young writer, whatever.
He's not old.
That's why I said young writer, whatever. Just using his own set of criteria and to say, you know what? I am going to vote because this is what's important to me. It's like the you and Mutt did this show years ago, this Mutt and Maloney show.
We did.
I
remember it.
It was great. I couldn't wait to tune in from 10 to 2. But you guys had some lady on.
Azuka Brown.
From Seattle. Right?
But that had more to do with, that was, I don't know if you got that over there, but that when it came down to manager of the year, in which Alex Cora is there now with Melvin in Oakland. Great year. Kevin Cash, Tampa, 90 wins, right? And Alex Cora, rookie, got 108. I actually think that there's a chance that he'll, I mean, I think he should win it. I think he's going to come in third.
I do too.
You think Cora will come in third?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
right,
they're going
to look. I looked at this
you
have, more.
They're going to look at the low girls? Market, the other two low market
teams.
Well,
here's the thing, because there's people like Azuka Brown, and I don't think she's voted anymore, but we asked her back in 2013.
Took her ballot laughing? Away
Why
from
are you
her?
Laughing?
When the Red Sox,
she doesn't vote.
When the Red Sox went from last place, Farrell came in, right? Won the division. Rightfully so, I think finished second to Terry Francona. Probably should have won it with a turnaround. Azuka Brown didn't have him, I don't think either one of them, on their ballot. It's like 29 votes, or 29 people voted either Farrell or Tito, one and two. And she didn't have either one on the ballot. Neither one. So I remember talking about it, and it was just more people like this is the reason why Alex Cora, I don't think, is going to win it.
The payroll was my the reason I didn't do choose Boston. Boston and maybe New York Yankees, they have, I think, big payroll. Probably managers have, if they can correct it, correctly manage, they have resources always.
Well, we're
that's why.
So she just looked at payroll.
Shocked she doesn't have a vote anymore.
She just looked at payroll. She was out in Seattle. And 2 years in a row, she voted for the exact same three people. Because they're both payroll.
Do you remember who she voted for?
Buck, was it, no, Showalter, Melvin, and somebody else. I don't know. You?
So it's a legitimate debate. You can look at it and say, if you managed a $56 million team to win 93 games, is that not a bigger accomplishment than having a $235 million payroll and winning 108?
Yeah, you had a $237 million payroll. The next payroll was 200. And everybody, I mean, the Yankees were like a $170. Right. I mean, the Dodgers were a $178
or something.
It's a
legitimate argument.
Like that.
I hate to say it,
so
but
they're
it
gonna, is. They're going to sit there and say that you had $237 million payroll. Should you have won 108? No. That's why you're on the ballot.
Right.
But look what Melvin did. He won 97. Look what Cash did in Tampa. He won 90 in the division with you guys and the Yankees. I think Alex should win it. Rookie came in, won 108, but I think he's going to finish third.
Yeah. Can I just say,
because of the payroll?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And there's a, but there's a legitimate legitimate argument there. Is there not? What's her name? Pazuka? Azuka?
Azuka Brown.
Azuka Brown. She voted for Bob Melvin with Joe Maddon.
So she's got a legitimate debate there, you know? Fiery interview, by the way.
Yeah, but she didn't know.
Groundbreaking.
She didn't know anything about it.
I'm amazed we still have it.
She didn't know anything about it.
Mutt keeps these old interviews and fires
them. Is that who we got it from?
Yeah, Mutt.
She knew nothing at all.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, no clue.
Somebody just showed her a sheet that had the payrolls of teams. I don't think she knew anything.
Here's the point I would make about war and the war stats, wins above replacement, because I know there's a formula to it, and you got to be able to play defense. You tell me how many games the Red Sox would have won this season. The worst team in Major League Baseball, certainly in the American League in home runs a year ago. You tell me, wins above replacement, how many wins above replacement would they have won if you did not have J.D. Martinez? You ended up winning 108. You tell me what that number would be, because I'm telling you, there'd be a huge drop off.
Well, some people
that
might
number.
Say 15.
Gigantic. 15?
Would they win 93?
Yeah. So we're talking about Trout with 10, right? Mookie Betts has 10. War. He's got, what, 7? 7 is what the J.D. Martinez says. You can't convince me that this team would win anywhere close to 108 games if J.D. Martinez were not in this lineup. All right, we're going to get back to the phone calls coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
So let me say one thing about the Red
Sox.
Getting
a little tired of seeing them win.
Yeah, and they have won a lot, and kudos to them today. I mean, they look a little ridiculous. First of all, if you're the Red Sox and if you're the manager, don't worry about the Yankees. Enjoy yourself. Talk about yourself. Praise yourself. Praise your city. Don't worry about what the Yankees are doing. I mean, to talk about the Yankees is low rent. And then you're putting your first foot forward, your best foot forward, are you, when you hit your own manager with a beer can? I mean, come on. You hit your own manager with a beer can?
There was an accident. He didn't mean to do it. By the way, he's gone right off the tracks. I don't know if you guys follow this funhouse because all the videos of him. It's amazing some of the crap that he throws out there. I swear to God.
He is the ultimate name dropper, too. I've never seen a guy who drops more names than this guy. Like, he's actually worse than you.
Worse than me.
You know, the rule is, whoever you know, right. Glenn knows that same person, but has known that person for a longer period of time.
Because I'm older, more years.
That's why. Yeah,
that's,
more years, longer.
Closer to him than you are.
Oh, yeah. Shared stories, went out drinking with him and everything. That's him to a T.
Slept with him. Oh, no.
No.
Okay. Phil's in a car next up here. Is this Phil?
Phil we called
lost?
Back.
Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I want to make sure. Someone was trying to stop me from saying Glenn's right there. I don't know who was controlling that.
It was Fourier. But, I know. Glenn. I know what's don't going have on a, here.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
And speaking of Cheers, I watched that Cheers episode last night, watching you count the interview with Kevin McHale. That was really good.
Thank you, Phil. Did you stalk him?
Of course.
How old are you, anyways? What are you doing?
I'm
you...
7 years old. The reason why Glenn is right, or with the Celtics, why he's right, is I think they're playing too unselfishly. Someone needs to step up and be a selfish leader, and that's on Brad to call out Kyrie or Tatum. I think they're the two most skilled-wise to be that guy, and then in crunch times, need to make sure they get the ball to him. This team, it's not a participation trophy. Everyone doesn't get a shot, doesn't get X amount of shots. It's who's going to take care of the ball in crunch time in that game. And I think the Celtics need to get more selfish. I don't think it's defense. I don't think it's three-pointers. That's the league they play in, and the defense they play as good as anybody can in this league today. I think it's all about being too unselfish.
I think Phil just nailed it. I don't know where he got that from, but he just nailed it right there.
Okay.
No, he's right, though. That's the problem.
But I'm saying, when you think about it, so they're 6-4.
Just that we've all said the same thing.
And the big scheme of things, as far as like where they are in the season overall, I mean, they're not even scratched the surface
yet. 10%.
Let me see. Okay, the one. Yeah, it's 10%. No, I'm not even. I almost feel like, you know, we used to have the special teams coach, and he would he refused to use stats as an indicator of anything until we got through at least to a quarter to halfway to the halfway point.
I think
point.
That's fair.
Because you just – how do you know? How do you know what's actually a real number or just an outlier? I have no idea. We can sit there and debate this game from last night and look at the amount of threes that they shot and just go, you know, if they made four more of them, this is a game. If they didn't shoot like 28% from three-point land, this is a totally different argument.
But hold on. Here's the difference. Your eyes tell you that right now it's not like they're taking awful three-point shots. They're taking three-point shots that these guys make with regularity, including, by the way, Baines. Okay? The only one that's taking shots, three-point shots, that usually he doesn't make is Marcus Smart. That's not the problem. But when you look at a Tatum or a Jaylen Brown, who look like they're hesitant out there. They're not sure. Do I deal the ball to Kyrie because he wasn't here last year, or do I take the shot? What do I do? That, to me, is pretty obvious that they're not stepping forward and taking control of the game. And he's right. Maybe Brad Stevens needs to say, Kyrie, it's your team. Here you go, brother. And we need somebody who's going to take over.
I think all that would help if you took advantage of what is obvious right now.
It's separated team one and team
Gordon
two.
Gordon Hayward's
right.
minutes.
I would agree.
Take him out of that starting lineup. So you look at Golden State and you say Durant, Curry, and Clay. Can you imagine if the other two starting five members were Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum?
How would
that work? You know what I mean? It would just be like, all right, you know, we can continue to take 20 shots a game and give Jaylen Tatum 3-4 shots, but they're talented, so we want them to take their shots. So then they start taking their shots, but they miss one or two, and they say, oh, okay, I don't have it tonight because I missed two shots, and we all know shooters got to shoot, you know. And on this team here, it's you can talk all you want about, you know, Jaylen Brown isolated game, and it's all great until he misses. Well, yeah, because there's so much talent in the court that when one guy misses two or three shots, you say, hey, stop being selfish, pass the ball to Jaylen, he can score. Pass the ball to Kyrie, he can score. Pass the ball to Tatum, he can score. You missed three shots, it ain't working for you tonight. Try to find someone else. And I feel like they're sort of lost trying to find any kind of rhythm individually. You know, it's not like baseball. We can put 9 all-stars in the lineup and say, go get them, because everyone's individually hitting.
Yeah, this is a team sport. It's different. No, there's no question that it's clearly what the issue is right now. They're number one defensive team in the league. So don't tell me it's not effort, because a big part of defense is effort. They're going out there and they're busting their ass. That's not the issue. We've already solved Tommy found out the fat guy in the crowd, called him out, and we've cleared that up. That's all been fixed, right? So it really comes down to they're too unselfish. And Tatum and Brown are not assertive enough, and they don't know what they're supposed to do.
I agree
Hayward
with
doesn't because he's coming back now.
I agree.
I
with
don't
him.
Know what he's.
I think that's the issue. Where it's like, you know, Washburn's writing an article about them being selfish.
No,
and I don't. I don't think that's the problem.
But he doesn't give names. But
we don't know. I have no idea.
I don't like that.
You don't want to list names. You would rather have that negative sports talk radio call people up.
Yeah. No,
he don't want to do his job and tell me who the hell he's talking
about. I think when you watch it, Tatum is an issue right now. Jaylen Brown is an issue right now. Hayward is an issue. So I'm throwing names out there, but I'm not blaming them. The problem is they don't know what they're supposed to do in all of this, right? You can name the names and sit there and say, it's not necessarily their fault. It's all up to Brad Stevens to fix this. Here's Peter in Jamaica playing.
Glenn, how are you? I called up and I was going to be 100% in agreement with you, and I think it's on Brad Stevens. Everyone should know that, and I think he'll figure it out. But to say that Kyrie's is too unselfish?
Yes.
He scored 30 points in the last two games, and they've lost.
Right.
In the first quarter, did you watch the first quarter last night?
I did.
Everyone scored.
First team was great.
And they were ahead by 18 points.
Right.
Kyrie
and then the bench killed you, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Kyrie has the shooting contest with Jamal Murray, and then they get killed.
No, I will say this.
Right.
Wait a minute. The last couple games, Kyrie has started to become more assertive, and I like that, and I think he has to be more of that.
Lou is right.
You don't like
Lou
this?
Lou is right. You got your second best player and your best playmaker, in my opinion, is Gordon Hayward. He's taken the 6 least shots on the team. He's averaging two assists. He's got to go down to that second unit. Get some confidence going. I mean, they need a playmaker. I mean, Marcus Morris hasn't had an assist in, 15 games?
That's not his game. That's not his game. Come on. Morris has been the best scorer off the bench.
I understand, okay? But I think Gordon Hayward would flourish. He needs to get more reps. He's coming back, and they need a playmaker. He's supposed to be the second-best player. He's not even getting any shots. You know?
Well, they can only give him 25 minutes, and I don't think he can get to a rhythm of 25 minutes. He's a guy that's accustomed to playing, 35-plus? It's difficult for him to do that, to change his game. But I agree with Lou. You got to do something. You got to change up, whether it's Tatum goes to the second team. I think Tatum could flourish on that second team because I think he's a kid that can really score. And once he's in that rhythm, he's hard to stop. But you got to do something. You can't continue doing what you're doing right now. All right, we'll get into a little bit more football coming up in this next hour.
BC football?
That's it.
What?
More football.
Ooh.
I didn't say BC football.
Oh, okay.
CFL?
Where are you coming up with?
I see somebody actually called up.
Big game this
week. Who's on hold that wants to talk BC football. I told them we only have 1 minute a week for football for any team in any state. So I don't know if you want to use it up now or what.
Well, that line's 20.
Game day showing up.
I heard. Spring
game day's coming up.
That line's 20.
Isn't that what you do?
However, Maloney Investments is dropping at 33.5.
Oh, okay.
That's what that line is.
33?
Yeah, we have it
at
33.5 right now.
What's the line? 20.5, isn't it?
20.
20?
Well, Vegas doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
33.5?
Yeah, and what would you do? Who would you take?
I think I would take Boston College.
Okay.
Take some action on that.
We'll build another casino.
I'm calling for an upset.
Mm-hmm. Good.
What do you mean, a win by Boston College?
Yeah, I'm calling for an overall win.
You may want to go see Maloney and
A.J. Dillon running it up and down, possession
I'll give you
football,
20.
Just like Army Navy.
Right, I'll give you 20.
There's our college football minute.
Thank you, sorry.
College football minute. That was your college football minute with Christian Fourier.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.